Well, hello and welcome to What Would Crap Pants. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Dad. Welcome to the show, everybody. A very special day because it's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day. I'm super excited about that. We will be doing the Golden Crappies, the, I believe, 14th annual Golden Crappies coming up at the Fonda Theater here in Hollywood. So hope you guys can join us for that. To get tickets, go to watchwhatcrappens.com. We'll also be building up the ballots and opening voting soon. So check our Instagram for that. You guys nominated a lot of stuff, so we're going to take so much of your input to put them into the show, which is always makes the show good. Okay. It's you. This show is your voice. And working on entertainment and guests, and it's super fun. This is a busy season for us and it's really good time. So join us for that. Also, if you want bonus episodes, right now we're talking traitors. Today is going to be a big long rant against both Colton and Michael Rapaport. Both douchebags, both on the traitors. So let's talk about it, okay? We'll be doing that on our bonus feed on Patreon. That's also where you get videos, which we do every day now. So videos, bonuses, and ad-free is now on every level at Patreon. So join us over there for all that good stuff. And now we can get to recapping, okay? Ben, what say you? What did you think of Beverly Hills? Are you on the train? Are you in Sedona? How are you feeling about the whole thing then?
I mean, sure. I mean, how many more times can we say it's a dull season so far? So I'm just at this point, I'm getting my jollies where I can get them. So if the producers, you know, put them at a restaurant at the airport in Sedona, I'll take it. I'll take that as a win.
I felt so bad for them at the airport. I mean, that was horrible. The overhead lighting. And then when Amanda lifted up that menu and it was one of those like one page menus that's been like, what do you call it? Shellacked? When you like,
it's like, it's, I have it. I have one of those things. I have one of those machines. It's not shellacked.
No. So like, you should know what it is.
Why can't I?
Like they do it in school.
The machine, I take the plastic and you put it in.
Yeah. Laminated.
And it's shiny.
Laminated. Like a laminated diner menu. I was like, ooh, least glamorous trip ever. And that's crazy coming from Sutton because she's, you know, one of the money. But as something people pointed out, she's Sutton Brown now, so she's cheap. I like when Erica said, yeah, you know, I would rather Sutton Strack do this because she's not tacky. She's not a tacky bitch like Sutton Brown. All right.
Erica, furious at the overhead lighting, was kind of a dream for me. Also, what's her face? Amanda. So I'm trying to figure out where I stand with her because on the one hand, she's so obnoxious. She really is awful. And that annoys me. But I do like that she annoys the other women. And I just don't know if her awfulness is something that's like awful fun for me or awful, awful for me. And I haven't been able to make up my mind just yet. I'm starting to worry that she's just being awful, awful. You know, I'm afraid.
I think it's fun watching her torture everybody because everyone really does hate her. And I like seeing the other ladies hold themselves so far above her, like they're so much better because, I mean, Amanda does have a level of tacky to her that the other ladies don't quite get to. But, you know, you've got Jennifer who's always bragging about her brands. You know, Jennifer is kind of tacky with her whole, wow, look at this. This is Fendi. You know, so you've got her being kind of tacky, but she gets away with it because her personality is so cute and fun. And like the tackiness is fun. And then you've got Kyle, who's obviously like, Birkin, Skelly. Ah. So they're always bragging, all of them all. And Dorit, especially the tackiest one of all. But Amanda still makes it gross. You know, she makes it gross.
She doesn't understand the rhythm of proper bragging. Like, it's one thing. There's a way to brag where you're like, isn't this just fabulous? Oh, my God. Let me show you my fabulous thing where I indulged and I got this thing and I'm so happy that I got it because I did it for me. Like, that's the vibe you want to put out. But Amanda's is very much just kind of like, I got this and I have 10,000 more of them at home, you know, and it's just like a little, hers is just coming from like a thirstier place, but it does really, really annoy them, probably because they do on some level see a reflection of themselves. I mean, Kyle is, I would say of the entire group, Kyle is the closest to Amanda in terms of the lack of cuth when it comes to brands. I mean, Kyle is so transparent, and she's so transparent about how envious she is about other people's trinkets and baubles. So, like, she's very, very close to the Amanda spectrum. But, like, Jennifer Tilly, like, you know, when she talks about her brands, it just sort of seems like she is she's almost like a curator. She's like a hobbyist, and she goes in and she sees these things and she plucks it out and it's part of her collection. It's fabulous and wonderful.
Yeah, she's annoying, that one, that chick. So let's get into it. This is season 15, episode 5, Not Feeling the Healing.
Not Feeling the Healing. Also, what's funny about this episode, or really this show in general, is how you sort of get the sense that, like, Kyle and Erica and others just think that their exploits in Sedona are just, like, so fabulous and so entertaining, assuming it's just, like, all we can talk about Friday morning, not realizing that, like, every single social media timeline is only talking about the Traitors this morning, right? Like, no one is talking about Beverly Hills. No one, poor Valley, Persian style. I don't think people even know it's around. Like, why did Bravo premiere that show up against the Traitors premiere? Like, the first few episodes of the Traitors is when everyone is the most fired up, because you've got, like, the surplus of these episodes, and so everyone's like, bah, 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 Colton, you know, Michael, blah, blah. And it's like, I just love that, you know, Erica and Kyle and Dorit are, like, prancing through the desert with these looks. I just always feel like they think they are breaking the internet, and it's like, it's so unbroken from them, it's hilarious to me.
Well, if the internet could break by falling asleep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the internet broke, it fell asleep and crashed into a tree. So, yeah. Whoops. So we open with shots of Sedona, which is gorgeous. You know, it's not Sedona's fault, but also Sedona doesn't add any excitement to it. It's like, wow, you know, you see the beautiful scenery and it's like, wow, that's still beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, you know, shots of amazing, fun places that you want to be. So they're not helping. Sorry, Sedona, get more entertaining. Okay. And they're at the Little Daisy, home of a lot of dead miners, as we remember from last week. And we start in Jennifer's room, and Jennifer, you know, solidifies her place in the audience's heart by opening in bed, eating boxes of donuts and Lay's chips and Tums. She's got Tums with it all too.
Yep. And then her assistant comes in and she's like, oh, donuts for me, please. Oh, good bacon. This is wonderful. Thank you. And then we go to Amanda's room, and then she's just, like, on a Zoom call, just sort of saying empty things about, like, you know, she's clearly talking to a
boss seminar. Girl. Yes. Yeah. Boss girl. Hashtag winning. Hashtag women only. Am I right? Hashtag manifest destinies. Okay.
Yes, boss bitch. And then Bose's room,
she actually says, like, whenever, I don't even believe, I think she's one of those people who walks around pretending to talk on her cell phone to sound important. And yeah, we've all seen those people. Some of us have been those people when you're bored in a mall and you're like, I'm not just bored standing in front of the Apple store, I'm talking on the phone. But you're not really. Yeah. And she does that because she says things like, yes, manifestation. Oh, by the way, we have 6 emails, just send those today. Send emails.
She's a very busy executive answering those 6 emails.
Sounds super busy. Don't forget the emails. There are 6 of them.
Then Bose, she's just in a room, and Nico comes in, and she's like, oh, I don't want that food right now at this very minute. And he's like, oh, so you want me to, I'll take it back then. She's like, thank you. And he just sort of stares at her and, like, laughs, like, are you sure? Am I supposed to do this? I don't know what to do next.
It's a whole plate of food. What am I supposed to tell the guy covered in, like, black ash outside, you know, standing at the buffet line? Tell that miner to take his food until I'm ready. So now we go to lobby, 1:30 p.m., guys. Sutton, Jennifer, and Kyle are looking, meeting up in country looks. They're wearing boots and straw hats and braids. And is that necessary? Is that required in Sedona to look like a tourist at the Saddle Ranch?
Yes. Yes, it is. And then Jennifer has some, she's in pigtails or ponytails or something like that. And so is like Kyle. And she's like, oh my God, look at us. We are Bobsy twins. And Kyle's like, oh my God, you're making me jealous. I should have put my boots on. Kyle forever.
But I put them on because this is my, I'm sorry. What were you saying, Ben? I didn't mean to overtalk you. I thought you were finished.
No, I said nothing really worth repeating. I just said that Kyle always jealous of people. That's it. It was not exciting. Yeah. It was as exciting as the episode.
Well, I put them on. I put my boots on because this might be the only time I'm ever near a vortex. So I want the vortex to recognize me as a fabulous fellow fabulous person.
Kyle's like, yes. Kyle was not listening. So
how can you say this is the closest you've ever been to a vortex when you're standing next to Kyle? She's like literally sucking all of the air out of the room. Although, you know what? Kyle's not being as annoying this season, I don't think. I mean, aside from the obvious, like, Dorit not non-support that she's giving.
That's pretty annoying.
That's pretty annoying. But, I mean, in the scale of, you know, Kyle to Kyle, I mean, I think she's just kind of a medium right now.
Well, given that she's always in a space of annoying, maybe she's not like at the depths of her annoyingness. Maybe she's not fully in the vortex. Maybe she's in the part of the, like, maybe she's starting to pull out of the vortex a little bit, but she's still baseline annoying for sure.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now Jennifer is like,
well, what is a vortex? Could it be a portal to another world? Am I going to have revelations? Am I going to vomit and collapse? I don't know what to expect, but thank God I look fabulous. So no matter what, I am prepared.
God, they're really relying. They're really relying on Jennifer this year. They're just like, just say anything about anything. What do you think about coasters?
Are coasters even for drinks or are drinks for coasters? Think about it.
Listen, if you're on the other end of that vortex and what pops out is Jennifer Tilly, wow, you've really hit the jackpot. Like, how cool. I feel like normally you're just getting like tumbleweeds and an occasional cow. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jennifer Tilly. Like you've done some great vortex work then.
Yeah, truly. I mean, shit, it would be nice to see Jennifer Tilly, but I'd rather the donut necklace she's wearing, you know, like hand it over.
I'm wearing a belt made out of Starburst candies and a bolo made out of Lay's chips. So,
you know, all those skeletons and poltergeists have been sitting there like, we got another little blonde girl. Can we try again? I hear there's a Jennifer Tilly out there.
Kyle's like, oh my God, like, what if we get sucked into the vortex? Oh, Kyle, they'd spit you back out and ask for Paris. Are you kidding?
I know. Kyle just so excited. She's like, should I tell the vortex I was in ER once? You think that will? She is actively looking for the vortex to be.
Do you
like,
think that the vortex knows that Alicia Silverstone played my mother in a show that I wrote about her?
Should I tell the vortex about Jamie Lee Curtis and how I know her? She won an Oscar now. So Sutton is like, well, a vortex is a center of energy in the earth, and there's different hubs all around the earth, and Sedona is known to be one of the energy hubs, and the other is kind of wherever my mother is at any given time, just sort of sucking my energy out.
You know someone who really loves it? This is why I don't trust Sedona. Someone who really, really loves it. I could be wrong on this, but I think in my memory it's correct. And I rely on my faulty memory.
Christ?
I don't know that Christ,
did you say Christ?
Ever made it. No. No,
you
no.
Love Christ, you're I don't think Christ made it. I can't it hear what you're saying.
It's Vaseline. How dare you?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm saying that I'm relying on my faulty memory, even though I know it's probably wrong. But I think Shirley MacLaine is a big Sedona head. And, probably. You know, like her, like out on a limb and we've got multiple lives. And, you know, she had that period where she's all hippy dippy and stuff. But yep. Like, there's a reason that Shirley MacLaine always plays the grumpiest lady on earth in every movie that she's in. And I think it's because Sedona doesn't work. Just going to say it. It only it's like a sugar pill, you know, that grumpy people are like, I'm going to go to Sedona. And then they get there and they're like, I heard there's a vortex. But at the end of the day, they're like, it's dry. It's hot. There's nowhere to eat other than the airport. Fuck this place. And then they go back to being in Steel Magnolias.
Do you think Sedona and Santa Fe have like a West Side Story thing going on? Like Sharks versus Jets? Like who can be the most like hippie desert place?
I would love to see that.
Just a bunch of old Lily Tomlin types wearing turquoise, being like, da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na-na.
It's like the street fight, but the weapons are rock deodorant.
The weapons are poet, like just writing poems. No, the weapons are basically telling people about a good gallery down the street. You know, there's actually a very good gallery. The woman down there, she does great work. She does amazing things with the local turquoise. You really should check her out, her stuff. It's wonderful. Well, guess what? The gallery down there has amazing work. A potter. She's a pottery person, but she also glazes her pottery with the dye of local fruits. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, really? Will I raise your local fruits with... We make our pottery with the spirits of dead miners. Dun, 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 dun.
We make dream catchers out of local reeds. Dun, 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 dun. Just locals giving advice on where to go in a battle way.
We see a picture of a mountain and then a red arrow pointing to one of the vortex hubs. Just point to Erica. That's the vortex.
I know.
We all know it. So we go back to the lobby.
Pat the vortex.
Amanda comes down. And she's like, oh, hey, guys, I've got sunscreen in my Chanel backpack. Yeah.
<it's a laughs> Thanks Chanel for being backpack. Very specific on its location. In case you were worried, it was my Louis Vuitton backpack. Don't worry. The sunscreen's in my Chanel backpack.
Sutton just rolls her eyes like, that is just so techie, techie. And she tells us, you know, if you're going to do Chanel Couture is just so good. But backpack, it's embarrassing.
So Rachel,
chain. Congratulations, you got the cheapest thing in the store.
So then Rachel sees Jennifer's bag and she's like, oh my god, I have that bag. I die. I took that bag and I was like, Caius, I'm holding your moisturizer in my bag. Okay, moisturize your face and then put it back in my bag because I think Jennifer has the same bag. I wonder if she has the same moisturizer. Oh my god, I die.
Well, every time I go to Santa Fe, I buy a fringe bag. They're big with fringe here.
And she's like, yeah, well, mine is vintage Saint Laurent, and I thought that's what hers was. So, yeah, like, just proof that we are as tacky as Amanda, but we're more fun about it.
I like the juxtaposition of everyone being disgusted with Amanda to the ladies also bragging about their stuff. But right. It's not the backpack.
Well, I think it is totally the exact same thing. Like, she's bragging about she has a vintage Saint Laurent, and she's also not quite one-upping, but being like, I belong here too. But I think the difference is that it's just all in the tone. It's just all in the tone. Like, there's no reason to bring up the Chanel backpack when you're talking about your sunscreen. The fact that she wedged it in there, that's where it goes wrong. Whereas Rachel, it's like, oh, I'd like to talk to you about your bag. I have a similar bag. I'm going to bond with you over that. Whereas Amanda has no outreach in her bragging. Her outreach is just like, I have sunscreen, and if you're looking for it, it's in my very expensive, non-useful backpack that I really should swap out with a Patagonia thing from REI.
Yeah, and like one backpack is bought by like styling celebrities, you know, and then the other bag is bought because Simpsons money. You know, and then Amanda's stuff is like, yeah, I tricked some housewife in the Midwest into giving me her husband's life savings, you know, to tell her to like rub a crystal ball and, you know, say manifest a lot of times. Suckers, right. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
So just picture all the broken down women who have been kind of screwed over and not manifested properly, like boxes of old LuLaRoe behind them unsold, you know, fucking oil burners and shit.
So then actually, to Erica's credit, Kathy then asks Erica, who makes those pants? She goes, Patagonia, I think. They're sun pants. They got the sunscreen in them. So that's great because she's both like one-upping Amanda by being like, sunscreen? I don't need that. That's in my pants already. I've got sunscreen in my pants. But also, like, it's that kind of...
Sunscreen's also a DJ at Milwaukee, so... Women. That's my nickname for Shrek, which is a nickname for the old guy I'm banging.
But also, I think, like... That isn't that a little bit of like quiet luxury? The fact that she's like wearing quiet luxury would be if she was wearing like a very like high end pant. But I think it's like kind of cool that Erica's wearing Patagonia pants, like, because that's what you should be wearing on this. I don't. I'm like really defensive about Patagonia.
You're really gonna go. You're really gonna stump for Erica today. You're like, you know what? Erica's wearing Patagonia pants, and that is what you're supposed to do.
Because I was walking outside in the negative 600 degree weather here in New York City, and it was so cold, and I had my Patagonia jacket on, and I was so warm, and I felt so taken care of, and I was like, I love Patagonia.
That's why. Because so you're in Patagonia
really
too.
Good about Patagonia, and then and I'm not, we're not even sponsored by Patagonia, everyone. Don't worry. This is not some ad. But like, but I was like feeling really good about Patagonia. So then when I saw right now, I remembered that Erica actually was wearing Patagonia pants. I was like, you know what? I always knew I liked Erica. She's been a great housewife, probably top 10.
New fan alert. Oh, by the way, last week after the show, after we recorded the show, I was like, God, you know, I feel weird bringing up stuff about Shrek because I haven't really researched it that well, but I think he's kind of an asshole. So I researched Erica's boyfriend, and there's a lot of articles about stolen valor and how he's apparently like told all these lies about stuff that he's done in the military or exaggerated stuff. And we were kind of laughing about that. But then after I got off the phone with you, I was laughing because I was like, is it Erica's stolen valor season? Because Erica's pretending that she's always been a DJ too. And that's kind of like stolen DJ valor, where she's like, I'm going back to my roots. I'm going to DJ again. Erica's back to DJing. We're like, we've been watching this show for like a decade and a half, and you're not a DJ and you've never been a DJ. Why are you pretending that you were a DJ? So do you think Erica has stolen valor? Tell me, stolen DJ valor.
I think they all have stolen valor. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on this show. Except for Jennifer Tilly. She's just having fun, right? If they had real valor, they'd be doing something more, you know, exciting with their lives.
Carl has stolen house valor.
Kyle has so many stolen valor. Kyle, I mean, how many things have we... Kyle has stolen LVP valor. Can't spell LVP without V in the middle. Lisa Valor DePump. Yeah, I think like that's very much what this show actually, believe it or not, I'm joking, but I think there is something about that. This is very much a show about people sizing each other up and envying what they have and sort of duking it out in the lobbies of various hotels as they show off their latest look and try to be the supreme. And I think that was all, that's all comes back to stolen valor on some level, right?
Yeah, I like it. It's a working theory. Sure. I'll go
it's
with
good,
it.
Like off the cuff theory. Yeah,
it's a good like beginning of the season working theory. So we'll see how it pans out. So Rachel is like, going hiking is not an option for me right now. I don't even have shoes to hike. Like, what is this? Is this a hiking caftan I'm in? Like, come on, stop. Like, I can't.
Apparently being interesting is also not an option for her. I just like to add. So the producer is like, but would you ever be caught dead in tennis shoes? She's like, I'd wear tennis shoes to play tennis, but like even then, the last time I played tennis, I was in Louboutin wedges. You know, the fashion seasons of Beverly Hills are really the worst. I'm just, you know, it's just when they don't have anything, they just rely on these fashion quips and moments. And honestly, does anyone really care? I do not care unless it's Patagonia, apparently, but I do not care.
You know, normally I would agree with you. I don't mind with Rachel because that's like her thing. And I think her reads are pretty funny. Like when she kind of reads everybody on the plane for their fashion and stuff like that. Like I find her amusing. But I also find it amusing when someone's like, yeah, fashion's my thing. And they're dressed like they're going to get a haircut in heaven. You know, like they're
but they're playing Jesus at the Hollywood Bowl. No, I do like, I'm with you. I like her fashion reads when she actually musters the energy to do them. But like me here, listening to her be like, last time I played tennis, I was in Louboutin wedges. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So then I give it, then I take it the way. I sit here and I applaud Erica for being humble enough to wear Patagonia pants in the moment that Rachel Zoe makes
no kidding.
Louboutin.
God, I'm like, you're really,
my window of generosity is closed.
Yeah, you're really coming for Rachel. You're like, you know what? Call me when you get a Patagonia, you know, caftan.
You know what? I'm coming not for Rachel. I'm coming for the concept of Rachel because I do think that sometimes this show does rest on its laurels for thinking it's more fabulous than it is. And I think that's what the core of it is that there's sometimes this show teeters into complacency where they say, we're so wealthy, we're wearing such fabulous outfits, we associate with such fabulous brands that we don't really have to do much because you're going to be so impressed. That's how I feel when I watch the show sometimes. And when I see other shows working so much harder and doing so much better, I just am like, it's just not enough for me to hear like a quip about your Louboutins. You know, put some sunscreen into your pants and get to work.
Yeah. You know, get some SPF on your cooch and then we'll be there for you, Miss Zoe.
Yeah, no, it's more, that's more of a message to the producers, I think. It's actually, when I say the concept of Rachel Zoe is that the producers were like, oh my God, she's fabulous. She's, you know, she's so fashionable. It's going to be great. It's like, actually, I need something more than that she's fashionable and that we know who she is. I need someone who is going to bring this show alive because they do have the raw talent. But when the raw talent, we need, this tank needs more than 50 50% in the tank.
Build my tank. Get a job. So we go back to the lobby and Sutton's like, we are going to go hiking and then we're going to come back later and we're going to make dinner. And if we're not here later, we're inside the vortex, What is it? And Amanda's like, vortex. Okay. We'll be in the vortex and then we'll meet back up tonight. Chanel backpack. Okay. Bye. So outside the little Daisy, we meet the tour guides, Sean and Chris, and they've got pink Jeeps. Labeled Pink Jeep Tours. And, you know, at home, LVP is like, oh, really? So we're driving around in the Sir car now, are we? Oh, poor Kyle. Poor needy, needy little Kyle.
Kyle is going to show up with a Sedona pink Jeep soon in her Encino home. Like, what? I just really like it. And I had actually ordered it beforehand. And, like, I really need a car for Bambi. So Jennifer,
I can shop anywhere.
I can shop anywhere, even on a tour through the vortex. Can I buy this? I love shopping. Can this be made into a hat? Because I love hats. I just want to remind everyone that storyline's coming back.
Kyle, how come Stormy hasn't been seen on camera? Oh, I brought the vortex to the backyard. I haven't found Stormy yet, but really liked it. I can shop anywhere.
The dogs are like, we knew if we waited long enough, we wouldn't have to escape the house. We would just be escaped into the house.
We've been eaten by the vortex house.
Is like, oh my God, I've never been in such a fabulous Jeep. Like, this is so Beverly Hills, a pink Jeep. I mean, wait, take us to the vortex. I brought my crystal so I can charge it.
Now, we start seeing in this episode Jennifer possibly becoming the most annoying housewife to the other ladies. And I think Jennifer should be thankful that Amanda's on this season because Jennifer, I think, would be on everyone's radar as someone to shut the fuck up.
Right.
After watching this episode, because wow, she never stops. She's just like, they go to the thing. She's like,
wow, look at that. Is that a rock? Is that a magical rock or just a regular rock? Do the Sedona rocks taste anything like donuts? It doesn't. You'll chip a tooth. Watch out for the rocks. Don't eat the rocks. Note to self.
Just talking, yapping.
But you know what's funny to me? The reason why she probably annoys people is not just because she talks so much, but I get the sense that Jennifer's actually witty, or at least she aspires to be witty, you know? And like that's a concept that has never been present on Real Housewives. No, Lisa Vanderpump has, in her prime, could be witty. But like I think Jennifer is like trying to be witty, and I think Jennifer also is pretty worldly. I think she's interested in art. She's interested in the world at large, hence worldly. And that's like something that Kyle is not. And I think that
you're just coming for Kyle every scene. We're not even talking. Kyle's not even close to here.
She is. There's a vortex. It connects them back to the little Daisy.
You are.
You about to defend Kyle Richards? Is that
what I'm about to hear, Ronald? You really got Kyle in your trunk today. You're like, hey, pull over to the side of the road. Open the trunk. Kyle. You still in there? You stuck, Kyle. Boom, boom. We're going over a speed bump now, Kyle. Boom, boom.
Should talk less about cowboy hats and more about Patagonia windbreakers. I'm in that mood. What can I, you know? What, honestly, I'm not gonna.
Don't
lie.
Apologize. Don't. Oh, well, you didn't.
So fired.
You're loud.
I'm not. I probably will apologize because it's me, but. I'm so fired up about the traitors that I'm just projecting so much emotion into this recap right now. I am not even joking. I spent 90 minutes last night on Twitter and Threads. I spent like 2 hours this morning also on it, being like, that's what I said. That's what I said. I agree completely. I can't wait to talk about this. So I'm just like pouring it all into, like, right now, in my mind, talking about everything's merging, talking about a vortex. As we're recapping this, I'm like, well, you guys all saw the traitors last night. Kyle Richards came on there. She bragged about her clothes, then acted like she was cool for wearing a hat. And then she wound up not even getting voted off. Like, that's the narrative in my head right now.
So back in the lobby, Dorit greets Bose and Rachel because they're like another crew. They're the shopping crew. And Dorit's like, congratulations.
On what?
On Rachel getting her luggage. That's a very big deal.
And they're like, okay, so let's go shopping. So Kathy's also with them. And Kathy's like, well, wait a minute. Everything's really far from here, right? I mean, are they even going to be open? Do we have to go? Rachel's like, Kathy, yeah, it's far away. Like, we're on top of a mountain.
So. Yeah, okay, well, I'm wealthy, so I'm going to stay back. I'm tired. So she leaves. And then the pink Jeeps are going through, headed to the vortex. And Jennifer's like, and Sutton's sitting there like, God damn it, why did I bring this woman onto my TV show? She's ruining everything.
Control yourself, Jennifer. We're trying to have a relaxing, meditative ride to the vortex. Vortex rhymes with vortex. Horse and tech. Those are working girls with two jobs. Vortex. I like that one personally. Do you know any store around here that sells Skittles? They're my caviar.
It's like, shut up.
Then, meanwhile, the other ladies are in a car and they're heading into town. We see a sign that says Entering Jerome, which is the same
been name. There.
I was gonna say the same name as probably Mikey Minden's biography at some point. or Rondell's. So Bo's like, well, I'm glad it's just the three of us. I really love you all. You know, Nico's like, I'm here too. I'm just sitting underneath you because I can't breathe.
They wouldn't take back this breakfast plate, so whenever you're ready.
The crisp eggs are soggy. I won't eat them. So that was an insight into my childhood. At the time, I would not eat the bowl of crisp eggs because they got too soggy. And my mom put them in a little plastic container. My mom put them in a little plastic container. Because the thing is, I think I've told the story before. I saw an ad for crisp eggs in like Time magazine. And it was like the most beautiful cereal I'd ever seen. This beautiful like hexagon with like lattice work and everything. I was like, I must have it. And I like begged my mom to get crisp eggs. My mom poured me a bowl of crisp eggs and, you know, put the milk in it. And I ate it so slowly that like halfway through it got so soggy. So I didn't want to eat it anymore. And my mom's like, you're going to eat that. You just made me, you have been hounding me for crisp eggs all this time. You're going to eat it. I was like, but it's soggy, Mom. And my mom took the bowl and she poured it into like a little Tupperware thing. She made me carry it around the entire day as we did. Like my mom had to go to the bank and everything. And I sat there in the car with it and I refused to eat it. And I will always remember this traumatic, soggy crisp eggs bowl. And then I finally got home and my brother was like, Ben. And he just poured more crisp eggs into it, which like was more crispy crisp eggs. And I came back to life. And I finished my bowl of crisp eggs. So thanks to my brother for saving the day.
That was a rough time. Yeah, it was a rough time. And you know what? You know who stands for soggy crisp eggs? Kyle, probably.
the chief soggy crisp eggs. She is a soggy crisp eggs. But also, I've got to say, I love that my mom did that to me. I love that my mom was like, no, you're carrying around this crisp eggs all throughout Catone in New York, whether you like it or not.
You're going to take this crisp eggs and you're going to eat it. Yeah. I bought this crisp eggs.
Yes.
You're going to love the crisp eggs.
Fucking Kyle Richards, though, am I right?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Now we go to Kyle. She really has crisp eggs. So Rachel is like, yeah, Kathy's not with us. She needed like a beat. She's just like my mother. She stays up to like the most ungodly hours. And I could hear her footsteps at 4 a.m. So she needs to like sit with her fan and like take a rest. That was Rachel's way of saying that fucking bitch woke me up at 4 a.m. pounding her feet into the floor right over my head. And I couldn't get an ounce of sleep, bitch.
Yeah. And we see Kathy in her room just scrolling on her phone like, that is hilarious. She's brought her own pillows from home. She's got her white noise machine. I mean, that woman knows how to vacation.
She really does. She's having a great time. Yeah. So back in Jerome, Rachel is like, oh my God, this is a Sedona store. Oh my God, this is like exactly what I wanted. Hi, can I see your Sedona stuff? This is amazing. And they all start looking at kaleidoscopes. Their brains are broken by the kaleidoscopes. You've never seen more silent housewives than you have seen these three.
Look, they've never seen a, they've never seen a kaleidoscope before. I thought it was really funny. And then someone goes, I think it was Bose. Yeah, Bose goes, so do the kaleidoscopes repeat patterns? And they're like, yeah.
I felt like they should have been playing the Edward Scissorhands music while they looked at them. They were so in awe. It was like, ah,
They were very fancy kaleidoscopes. Like it was like the kaleidoscope workshop. Like we saw all the ladies back there with like their metalworking machines and their, you know, diamond glasses that they're wearing. Like they're checking out diamonds. Yeah. Like, ooh, just getting this kaleidoscope perfect. Ooh, just they're all Lisa Vanderpump back there. Like just working on a world of magic and illumination.
Rachel's like, oh my God, everything here is art. Everything is art. Oh my God. Wonder Woman. Dorit, it's Wonder Woman.
I mean, like when she looks at art. She looks at her own jewelry through the kaleidoscope. She's like, oh my God, my bracelets. To die. Just died looking at my own bracelet.
I died. I just died. Oh my God. It's like 12 of them. Oh my God. I can't wait to tell Jen Garner. Oh my God. I die.
Oh, Wonder Woman was my favorite. I love Wonder Woman.
Me too. I dressed up like her all the time. I'd like put on gold bracelets. I've been wearing them ever since. It's like if Wonder Woman just wore like a caftan every once in a while. I just wanted to meet Linda Carter so I could say like, loosen up. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, when Rachel Zoe made that joke, it made me wonder if a Zoe makes a joke in the forest and there's no gay there to laugh, did she ever make a joke at all? Because I felt like that was like the sort of joke where normally when she's with her gay, it's like, oh my God, I die, Rachel. Oh my God, she's been wearing the bangles ever since. But like here in the store, it's just like, I've been wearing them ever since.
I don't get it.
Because I wear her bangles.
You, but they're a band. How do you wear a band on your hands? Walk like an Egyptian. No, it's a type of bracelet, Dorit. Still don't understand. Anyway, looking at other things. Thank you.
Talk about Manic Monday, am I right?
Eternal flame. That's what PK always asks for when we make s'mores.
So Dorit has found a globe. She found some sort of, and by the way, there's like lots of fun stuff in there, but this is by and large a tourist trap shop, right? Like it's just like, you know, Southwestern trinkets and, you know, turquoise.
It's like a weird magic shop or something. Because she gets a globe, but it's like a globe that's inside a ball. And so when you move your hand, it looks like you're moving. It's like a labyrinth, you know, where it's like a David Bowie thing where it looks like you're doing all this magic stuff with the ball. It's like, ooh, look at this. I've got a world in my hands.
The babe has the power. What's power? What power? Like, literally, like, what power? Power of voodoo.
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 You do.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. That was my. I'm cracked out. I've got no other explanation.
Little French Sinatra in there.
No, that was. That was Rachel Zoe and Dorit singing the song from Labyrinth. And I did it as a one-man rendition, and it was horrifying. I apologize. I guess it's really hard. Once you tell a good Crispix story, it's really hard to follow up.
So, by the way, Dorit pays $482.24 for that fucking globe. Dorit, hi, this is Ronnie. I know we're not friends. But I do like you, and I just wanted to inform you. You're broke. Okay, stop it.
Yes, but she has a properly oriented globe at all times. So she may be broke, but at least she always sees the world right side up. Yeah. So Rachel's like, they leave the store, and she's like, I'm dead. No, like literally I died. A kaleidoscope fell on my head. I died. And right now you're just seeing an angel version of me, which is good because I'm dressed like a little angel. Like, but I literally I'm like a dead soul. I'm going to haunt you, but I'm going to haunt you in Louboutins. It's going to be so chic.
I'll probably be like haunting you like while I'm playing tennis and like Louboutin wedges. So
if you're seeing eight of me, that means you're probably looking at me through your kaleidoscope, but I'm still dead.
Okay, let's go to another store because there's like so many stores here. Like, I just want to see more Sedona stores. Like, I need it. Like, there's so many. It's like a caftan heavy town. Like, I'm into it.
do I live here? Do I live here now? Like, did I just move here? Am I a citizen of Sedona? Fucking caftans. I love it here. And Bose is like, yeah, actually, I'd like some wine. I saw a winery. She's like, yeah. Okay, wow. I clocked a crystal shop and you clocked a vineyard. Priorities. Wow.
That's wild. That's so deep. I'm this so crazy right now. I'm like, so the way that I like clocked the crystal shop and the way you did that, like the way I can admit that, I'm like so vulnerable. This is like maybe the most vulnerable I've ever been. Like I'm dead. I'm dead of vulnerability.
So the other ladies at the airport Mesa Vortex Trail, the temperature is 102 degrees, which is crazy. What kind of trip is this? How is this Sutton's trip? This seems like an Erica trip. You know, like,
all right, here we are. We're at a park. Just go walk around. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want to. What do I care? Just drop them off on the side of the road. Let's do it Real Housewives of Salt Lake City style. Just pull over on the side of the road. Let's just talk. Let's have some sandwiches.
But this is Sutton. Come on, Sutton. 102 degrees climbing up a hill.
How did none of them break a sweat? Well, Jennifer sort of broke a sweat, but like, how did none of them break a sweat? I feel like they're lying. I think it was 72 degrees. I'm going to say that.
Jennifer had a full, I'm surprised Jennifer even made it up that hill. You just see her like on her hands and knees, just like.
It was Mad Max. This was, I was expecting her to be captured and brought to Tina Turner. Like this was an end of the world, like post-apocalyptic shit that was going on over there. So Sean, they get there and Sean's basically saying, as they're hiking, he's saying that, oh, wow, like some in the 60s and the 70s, some psychics and gurus said that there's like some electromagnetic energy here, blah, 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 vortex, you know. And Jennifer's like, I'm feeling really good energy. Charmed, I'm sure, charmed.
Just talking the entire time.
Look at all the houses down below. I noticed there aren't a lot of swimming pools here in Sedona. That's sad. They are difficult to clean, though. Probably with so much dust, it would be terrible, terrible. But who lives without a swimming pool, am I right? Is that a bumblebee? Hello, bumblebee. I've always been friends with bumblebees. I used to know the girl. My sister was up for the commercial of the tuna, which had nothing to do with the bees at all, did it? It was a fish. Tuna is a fish, I told her.
Please shut up.
Amanda's like, my Chanel backpack would like to ask, is she always this talkative? And Erica's like, yeah, this is why she's an Oscar-nominated actress.
Because she talks a lot? Wait, how does that make sense? She goes, yeah,
you know, not to be rude, I know she's a millennial and everything, but does Amanda even know who Jennifer Tilly is? Does she even know?
I mean, I hate to be rude, too, but did any of you people know who she was before she showed up on the show? Because I feel like none of them really did know who she was either, okay? The real ones are the ones who know. So then Kyle, they're hiking and Kyle's like, oh my God, I cannot imagine Kathy doing this. Oh my God. Like she is so funny. Should we like rag on my sister a little bit? You know, it's cool, right?
Like, yeah, well, that's why she's not here, Kyle.
And we see Kathy is still on her bed. And now she's looking at videos of them from earlier, of like Jennifer with donuts. And she's like, oh.
Watching Jennifer in her bed with donuts. And she's like, oh, that Jennifer is something else. So we got back and Jennifer's like, oh,
I was never as young as I used to be.
Because someone says, I'm not as young as I used to be. She's like,
I was never as young as I used to be.
That was worth every hard step. Isn't this a great vacation, everybody?
Die, Sutton. Die, Sutton.
And then we see this shot. You know, they showed this in the beginning of the trailer of Jennifer laboring up the side of this mountain. And I always assumed on the trailer they made it seem like, oh, my God, Jennifer is crawling up a mountain and she's about to die. And I always assumed, okay, when we actually get to this scene, the context of her is going to be like, girls, let me show you how I do my scenes of when I'm like climbing up a mountain. I had to do this once on Bride of Chucky. And she was going to do like a whole thing and be a comedy bit. But when we actually got here, no, she actually was climbing up a mountain and about to die. It was an authentic moment from the trailer.
We're getting sucked into the vortex. Why would you do this to me?
America's like,
was this wind part of the deal? Get rid of this fucking wind. Fuck this place. Fuck this trip. There's wind everywhere.
Erica's like, well, guys, next time, let's do drugs. I'd rather do mushrooms and feel something. Let's do that. It's the same shit. I'm like, oh, sorry that you were taken to the mountaintop of, like, gorgeous, gorgeous views and scenery. I know it's hot, but, like, hello, this is also kind of like a pretty kick-ass view.
No, I mean, it's gross to me. Like, taking me on a Lux trip to exercise in 102-degree heat, Sutton needs to be put to death for this. This was horrible. Also, do they have a thing with Coke? Because they're always drinking Cokes now on the show. Mm-hmm. Did you notice? And you know these ladies will not touch Coke with a 10-foot pole. I just don't believe it. Like in the first scene of the season when Dorit doesn't have a family in the house. So she's like, ooh, I think I'll talk to this Coca-Cola bottle. It says friend on it. Friend. Hello.
I know. Drinking sugar imbued Coke. Well, there was a big, you know, on the Traders last week, there was a big Coke and Diet Coke moment with Lisa Rinna. Mm-hmm. So maybe
that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if it's like a hidden thing that they just now they drink Coke because Erica slurps from her Coke can and I just don't buy it.
Yeah, although she is from Georgia, so maybe she's having some state pride. So Sean is
true. Oh,
that's Coca-Cola headquarters.
Yes.
Ronnie and I know because we once walked outside of the Coca-Cola experience in Atlanta and we did not go in. So Sean is basically telling them, like, go sit by yourself and think about things. So they all sit by themselves and have, like, I think no introspection. I think they just go and sit alone. And then they're like, okay, well, that was fun.
Yeah, he's like, you want to meditate? And like,
no, but we'll talk shit about each other. Mind your own business, pink van.
So Kyle
Jennifer. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. No, you go, Jennifer.
No, I don't care. I'm just going through it. What were you going to say?
Kyle, they all gather back together. Sorry. And Kyle is like, oh my God, this is like such a special place. And you think that she's going to maybe say something introspective or deep or thoughtful. And she's like, I just wish the other girls would have come. Like, by the way, I didn't even tell you. Dorit got like upset at me. Like she said, like when I was at her house, like fuck PK. And I really got the sense that she's like angry at her situation, was taking it out on me. I was like, okay, Kyle, I'm glad you came all the way to the Vortex just to talk shit about someone.
Yeah. I got the sense that she's angry at her situation and was taking it out on me. No, she was angry at you for not taking her situation seriously. Okay.
Yes.
I know that's a very difficult thing for you to understand, but she wasn't irrationally upset with you. You were an asshole, and then she was upset with you. I hope.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, Erica's not the kind of person who will ever explain that to you because she's got her head up your ass to keep herself safe. So Erica just goes,
oh, sure.
She's like, yeah, so I kind of took a breath and I said, I'm here for you. I support you. PK probably didn't do anything wrong. I love you.
Well, I think she's just overwhelmed. She's like someone walking up a mountain without sunscreen in their pants. I mean, embedded in the fabric. And especially since you guys are just like now getting back to being close. I don't know, Kyle.
And she's like, yeah, right. But like, and I told her, like, I don't want to do this with you. Like, I don't want to have to take your side with you. I'm like totally team PK. And she's like still mad at me for it.
Yeah.
You know what? I just leave the whole PK thing alone. Just don't even talk about it. Don't talk about it. Your friend's going through something. Just stay quiet. Let him go through it over there. Just pretend you're listening. Just think about all the DJ trips that you've done in your past. And just relish in that. Just let it go. Listen, one thing I know about true friendship is it's not a thing. Just ignore your friend in pain, Kyle, until it goes away.
So Kyle goes, well, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I'm like, no, actually, you're not in a catch-22 here. When you show up and your friend is going through a divorce and the husband's being a dick and she's telling you that she's going through something, you just say, what a fucking asshole. Like, that's literally all you have to do.
Yeah.
It's the easiest task. You let her talk, eat some M&Ms, and then you go home.
Yeah, just say, I never liked that veiny, pasty fucker in the first place. Why do you like him? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's like he's a physical embodiment of diabetes. Why were you ever with that man? That's what you say. Like, why do I have to teach you? I mean, I'll feed you lines all day if you need them.
Yeah.
Give me a call. You know, who spilled flour all over the counter, then poured water over it and then married it? You did. You did that. Why did you do that?
He is the flour that gets in the sink after you bake and then you try to wash it away and it just firms up and just becomes annoying.
Yes.
So back at the wine bar, Dorit's like,
well,
Kyle came over and I shared with her that I don't always feel most supported by her. Little jabs from Kyle. Little jabs, jab, jab, jabs.
Well, what I'm seeing and I'm feeling is that Kyle has a tongue that touches each corner of her mouth every 5 seconds. Also, it seems like she's having a hard time because you're not letting her in. You know what I mean? Bring down the walls. Bring down the walls.
Well, there was a moment at Tilly's, and I'm hypersensitive because I've heard so much, but there was this moment at Tilly's.
Wait a second. Why were you at a store for teenager boys?
No, Jennifer Tilly's, not the store Tilly's. But I was there. I did go to Tilly's and I lost $30,000. It was crazy. But there's a moment where she said, we don't know if he did or if he didn't, and we just don't know.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Well, I think, like, in these kinds of situations, like, no matter who's right or wrong, you just, like, want your girls to have your back, right? You know? Like, you just want to be like, you know, fuck that guy. Like, were you, like, married to a literal potato?
Did the potato moisturize? Because, like, Caius moisturizes, like, so much at camp. And if the potato can't even moisturize as much as Caius, like, why even have the potato in the first place?
Is like putting on pants for PK, like mashed potatoes trying to reform themselves into a regular potato again. You can't put the potato back in the skin. That's all I'm saying. What were we talking about? Why are we talking about potatoes? I feel fat. I just got heart disease and died. I'm dead.
Potato skins are so in for 2026, by the way. Like, I cannot. I die. Bury me in potato skins. Just wrap me up in potato skins and put me in a larger potato and then put me in the earth and then watch me grow back as a new potato. Oh my God. I love it. I die.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Like, and at that moment, you were like breaking down. So it probably hurt extra for her to say that. I mean, yeah. She said that like wearing pants. Like, who even does that?
Could you imagine if you've been looking at Kyle through your kaleidoscope when that happened? It would have hurt 8 times more. I die.
She would have been licking the corners of her mouth 16 different ways. That would have been horrible. Kaleidoscopes are evil. That's the point of this conversation. So back we come back to Kyle. And Kyle's like, well, you know, I talked to Mo and, you know, he says that what PK is saying is completely the opposite of what she's saying. Well, yeah. When is PK even around? I'm not going to listen. Listen, I know Dorit's not perfect, but you don't listen to some man who just like leaves his family, his second one, by the way, and then up and leaves for like 4 to 6 weeks at a time and doesn't see his children. That's not the one that you listen to.
Yeah.
About not shit only- like this. Like, he's making no effort.
Not only that, you're basically, like, you're mad that Dorit is mad at you, and you're mad that you're being viewed as the bad guy, and instead of being like, oh, that was shitty of me, she's now going around trying to poison the waters against Dorit in the group by co-opting this spiritual New Age moment on top of a mountain in a vortex. So she's really talking to two dimensions at once, I'd like to point out. So she's really amplifying her message. And she's basically saying, yeah, Dorit's a little cray-cray because I talked to a man and he says that she's been acting crazy and preventing him from seeing the kids and it's not all the truth. I mean, Kyle likes to say that she's a girl's girl, but this is not being a girl's girl right now. She's talking shit about Dorit and her divorce to the other women and hoping. And what is she trying to achieve by this? Like, what is Kyle trying to achieve by telling the women that I spoke to Mauricio and Mauricio says that PK has a different story and that Dorit's being very difficult? What are you trying to achieve by doing that?
She's coming on. It's like she's not only talking behind Dorit's back about it, which I guess is normal on these shows, but she's getting PK's side out there for him when he's not on the show. And that's just really despicable.
In hopes of what? In hopes of what? To convince the other women to agree with her and to agree with PK, to make the other women think that Dorit is being hysterical, Dorit is being irrational and unreasonable. That's ultimately what this is, the aim of this. Is to isolate Dorit, if you ask me. And Kyle would probably say, no, it's to show that I'm not being, like, it's not that I'm being anti-Dorit. It's just like there's more to the story and I'm just being open and honest. So she's going to wax it. She's going to spin it like she's being like, I'm the open and honest person here. I'm about finding the truth in this situation. But it's really more, I think, to make the girls turn on Dorit.
Well, yeah, because Kyle's still mad that Dorit had the nerve to stick up to her last year for the first time. Yeah. And so now she's going to spend the rest of her time ruining Dorit. That's what Kyle does, you know, and she'll go for Dorit till she gets Dorit off the show. And then they'll move on to the next one. It's a cycle with Kyle. She's been on this show long enough that we see her inner clock. And it's ticking.
And the fact that she made up those lies, the fact that she made up those lies about Portia and Tiffany, I'm just so mad at Kyle Richards right now. I'm so mad. Sorry, I'm getting my wires crossed again.
You're back to the traitors. So we go back to the mountain, and Erica's like, well, exactly what was happening is what I thought was going to happen, which I don't want to happen.
This, you're getting dragged into this, Kyle. You know, you're getting dragged into all this drama with the divorce.
And she's dragging herself in. No one is making her go take PK's side for no reason and fight Dorit and turn the whole cast against Dorit over it. Kyle is doing that.
Yes, she is. And Erica has good advice here. She's like, if I were Kyle, I'd just block it all out like people do with my music. Just try to be there in the moment, okay? Like people don't do for my shows, because you can't be all the things to all the people. Like less said, best said. I don't want to know, and I'd ask Mauricio not to tell me anything.
And she's honestly exact. She's 100% right on this. Don't, like, just focus on being a friend to your friend and don't try to get the other side from Mauricio. Don't put yourself in that position. Just try to be, like, just try to be the good girlfriend you always claim you are.
You know what they say, a friend to everyone is a friend to no one, which is why I'm a friend to no one.
It's like sage advice from Erica. And she's like, well, obviously it's going to be like a he said, she said, you know. And back at the wine bar, Bose is like, well, your relationship is damaged, Dorit, from a trust standpoint, and you're trying to work your way back to a place where she is understanding and wholly supportive of you.
Well, it goes back to actions and words. Don't tell me. I support you entirely because I believe it. So then if I don't see it, I'm like, but I believed it. But I don't see it. But where is it? I thought it was here.
It's not there. I don't understand. All right, please. You're going on to 37 accents. Just calm down and have some wine.
Babe, there's like tests every day in friendships. Like so many tests. Like, specifically 8 tests, because you take 1 test and you look at it through a kaleidoscope and you're like, oh my God, there's actually 8 tests here. And that's a test in and of itself. It's like a lot. I die.
So back at the ranch, Kathy is slicing vegetables in the kitchen and Erica comes in and she's like,
what the hell are you doing? Disgusting. What are those vegetables? Is there not a Taco Bell near here?
She's like, oh, I'm starting my pasta primavera. I'm Italian.
Yes, I learned this recipe when I went to Italy and found out that I was Chinese. Sadly, I don't know any Chinese recipes from my childhood.
So Erica is like, okay, well, do you want me to get someone in here? Because I'll fuck it up. I'm going to fuck up this food. Or no, I'm going to fuck up this cooking. So Erica's like, tells us, Sutton has decided that we'll all be cooking dinner tonight. Why are we cooking on vacation? Are we on a fucking budget? What the fuck is going on here? So, yeah, they're going to attempt to be like humans and cook. And this is going to be a true disaster over the next,
you know, it's, you know, shocking for me to be so wholly on Erica's side for an entire episode. But she's exactly right. Like, you took me to a national park and made me walk around in 102 degree weather. And now I have to eat Kathy Hilton's cooking. Why don't you just fucking take me out back and shoot me in the fucking head? What kind of vacation is this? It's like, she's like, I'm poor and this is still low.
I don't.
Just take me home.
Don't make these people cook. Like, there's certain people, there's certain shows, and there's certain vacations and certain groups of people where the vibe is like, let's get an Airbnb, we'll cook dinner, it's gonna be super fun. And there's certain TV shows where I trust it, you know, like Eugene gets on the grill, like it's going to be good food.
Oh, yeah. You're going to trust him, Eugene, for sure. Yeah.
you go to New Jersey. Teresa, she'll throw down. I believe she'll throw down. You know, there are a lot of these shows, you know, where, you know, people will cook some good food. They're not going to cook good food on Beverly Hills. I was trying to think of Orange County. They would cook with anyone. Could anyone cook food on Orange County? Probably not there either. But I'm going to say Beverly Hills, like, don't even bother. This is, no one wants to have Kathy Hilton's cooking. No one does. I don't want Sutton's chicken. I don't want anyone's salad. Just get away. We've all seen what happens when Kyle tries to cook salmon when she had her storyline of, I really like to cook salmon. Her season arc of cooking salmon, where it got burned every time. Like, don't do this to us.
Yeah. So we have a scene of Bose talking to Keely. She's feeling down because she's been doing injections. And then Kyle's doing her makeup and Amanda's like, hey, can I ask you for your advice? Did Sutton have an assistant named Avery or Ari or something like that? Avi?
Nice try.
Yeah, Avi, yeah. Nice try, Amanda. And doesn't look practiced at all when you do the exact same line to Sutton. Like the exact same thing. Did you have an assistant named Avery or Ari? Avi?
You're Avi, so disinterested. Right. Mm-hmm. You're so disinterested in this topic that you couldn't remember his name. Yep.
Yeah. Well, my friend Alana was out. By the way, I'm just saying Alana because I think it changes later. But anyway, my friend Alana was out and ended up talking to some guy. And the guy was like, oh, my God, are you the girl who's friends with the girl who's always wearing Chanel and like is really super rich, has like Louis Vuitton? And he was like, yeah. And then Alana was like, oh yeah, my friend knows Sutton. And he said, well, tell Amanda to call me and I'll spill the real dirt on Sutton. So, I mean, this is a bad breakup, I guess.
Wow. Well, you know what? I have to say, I know someone who knows Avi, who's, I will say,
really
fresh. Well,
so an old queen in a bar?
No. There's an old queen in a bar whose professional services I use once in a while. And he's like, Avi, I see Avi on the street. He's sort of like, he's not really a house. He's sort of a housewife watcher. His wife is more of a housewife watcher. She might actually be listening to the podcast. Shout out to old queen in the bar's wife. But like, so when I see him, he'll be like, oh yeah, saw Avi. He's so nice. I saw Avi. He always loves talking, because that's the way he connects, right? Because that's, he knows I do a housewives podcast, basically. And then he was like, I saw Avi. And I was like, oh, well, you know, he doesn't work for Sutton anymore. He's like, oh, really? I didn't know that. So I kind of feel like this guy who sees Avi regularly on the street did not know that Avi doesn't work for Sutton anymore. I don't know. Like, there's a world where...
Listen, that's straight guy tea, and straight guys just don't care. Like, you could tell a straight guy, and they're just like, this is some gay guy nonsense. So they just tune it out. You know, they just hear like, that's all they hear.
He's like,
all they're thinking is like, this guy is really gay.
He's like, my old employer, that fucking bitch, the way she would throw her Tito's in at my head every single time. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm leaving. He's like, uh-huh. Yeah. Cool. Well, great seeing you too. Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to straight guys who are like, so what do you do? And then they kind of make you go on a pitch about yourself. You're like, oh, I do this housewives thing. And I talk about, and then you see their eyes glaze over and I can literally see a reflection of a TV that's not even there watching the game. You know, like I see a ball being thrown over. I see someone catch the ball. They're getting tackled. I'm like, you're watching the TV in your head. You aren't listening to me.
I'm of two minds. On the one hand, Avi's just going to like just start talking shit about Sutton to a total stranger out of nowhere. But then again, it's like, you know, drunk gay. We do kind of do that shit also. So like, I don't know. Because then on the other hand, he doesn't even say anything to the straight person who knows him, but then again, straight person is gonna filter it all out, so it could go in two different directions, you know.
I think it was probably, if I had to guess, which I don't, but I will, I think it's probably Avi drunk in some bar, and he's like, oh my god, you know, the new cast member, I need a job, I just got fired from one of them, so have her call me, I'll give her the real dirt. Oh yeah, hire me, you know, like being funny, but yeah. Also, probably hate Sutton because it seems like they had a bad breakup because Sutton's...
It was bad.
You know, obviously they did. You can tell it's written all over Sutton's face. And he probably is bitter and talking shit at a bar. I mean, that's what we do. It's our culture. You can't hold it against us. And I think it's his right to talk about it. Now, whether or not he signed an NDA is another thing, because he better watch his ass. Because if he is saying shit, he's going to get in some big trouble. But if there's no NDA, then Sutton's an idiot. And she shouldn't have done that. And he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Well, Amanda is basically like, he talked to my friend and he said like, oh, put me into contact with Amanda. I'm gonna gossip with her. And if she's looking for an assistant, you know, hire me. So Kyle's like, oh my God, like what the actual hell? He's such a nice guy. And the fact that he would ever say, have her call me, like obviously it had to have had a very bad ending. Oh, thanks for connecting those dots, Kyle. What I else mean, did you love? Was it the fact that Sutton got cagey and started shaking and did her that fake smile when she said, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. Like, she's a real detective, that one.
But it's also so, Kyle, instead of being like, wow, I thought Avi was a really nice person, and going back and talking behind the back of somebody that you worked for is really tacky, is what your real friend would say. But Kyle, of course, is like, well, you know, he's such a nice guy, so... Wow, it must have been a bad ending. Sutton must have really fucked him over. Kyle's whole face lights up. She's like, ding! I know. Like, she comes to life for the first time this season.
Someone needs to track down Glenn and find out what happened with Kyle and Glenn. How about that?
How about that? That is a good question. I always wonder about what poor Glenn's doing. Although we said that one season and someone's like, oh no, I saw Glenn running around in the back. You know, so I don't know.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Ahrens?
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
Happy are we, it's Allison with an I.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.